I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, if you were out and about this weekend, you probably saw many a Christmas tree bundled atop car roofs. But increasingly, you can see another holiday accessory on top of people's automobiles. We'll tell you what it is in just a few minutes. But first, when you talk about Latinos in the United States, it is easy to get overwhelmed by the wow factor of the numbers. 47 million Hispanics in this country, which makes them the largest minority. 27 is their median age, which makes them the youngest minority. 1 in 5 school kids is Latino. 1 in 4 newborns is Latino. But behind the eye-popping numbers, there are some equally compelling and complex attitudes about the world, which the Pew Hispanic Center, a respected research organization, just explored in a new report titled Between Two Worlds, How Young Latinos Come of Age in America. The report is based on the center's analysis of government data and on a telephone survey of more than 1,200 Latinos aged 16 to 25. The study highlights differences in attitudes and behaviors between Latin American immigrants, their U.S.-born children, and grandchildren. To talk more about this, we're joined by Mark Lopez, who is Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center. He's here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio. On the phone with us from New York, we're joined by Eduardo Porter. He's a member of the New York Times editorial board, and Mr. Porter previously covered the Hispanic population in the U.S. as a reporter for the New York Times, and before that, for the Wall Street Journal, and we're pleased to have them both. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for inviting me.
So, Mark, there's so much to dig into, and I think we can really only scratch the surface here, but we'll do our best. Two-thirds of Latino youth between 16 and 25 are not immigrants. Broadly speaking, are there differences between Latino youth who are immigrants and those who are born in the U.S.?
Yes, we do see in this survey and also in government data some differences between young Latinos who were born in the United States versus those who were born in another country. Thinking about a particular example, when you take a look at the high school dropout rate, high school dropout rate for Latinos overall is much higher than it is for the general U.S. Youth population. But a lot of that is actually coming from young immigrant Latinos who have a higher dropout rate. Now, why? They might be here for other reasons. They've come here. They've immigrated to this country, more than likely to work and not necessarily to go to U.S. public schools. We also see, for example, a difference when it comes to knowing somebody who's in a gang. So when you talk about knowing somebody in your neighborhood who, or a family member or a friend who's a gang member, second and third generation or native-born young Hispanics are more likely to say that they do know somebody in a gang than, say, immigrant young Hispanics.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think a lot of people would have it the other way. They would think that gangs would be of particular attraction to new immigrants who are finding their way, and you're saying that's not true.
That's not true. No, that's not what we saw in this data among young people 16 to 25.
A subject of particular interest, I think, to me and to many others. How are Latina women immigrants different from Latina women born in the U.S.?
Very interesting differences here. When we take a look at, for example, teen parenthood, first overall, young Latinas are more likely to be teen parents than their white or black counterparts. However, when we take a look at immigrant young Latinas, we see that the parenthood rate is actually much higher among them than it is among native-born young Latinas. So there are some differences here, particularly when it comes to family formation between young Latinas who are born abroad and young Latinas who are born here in the United States.
Eduardo, one area in which there is a great deal of similarity is in attitudes toward work. The report states that, quote, when asked which of two statements comes closer to their views about the rewards of hard work, that one can get ahead by working harder, that hard work and determination are no guarantee for success, Latinos are more likely than the general U.S. population to say that one can get ahead by working hard. More than 8 in 10 Latinos aged 16 and older say this. I'm interested in your reaction to this. This image of the hardworking Latino is a stereotype, but it does seem rooted in a real work ethic.
Well, indeed, if you think about it, perhaps it shouldn't be so surprising. The cohort of immigrant young Latinos come here precisely to do that. So it's kind of like a very fundamental part of their mission.
What about the report interests you and fascinates you?
I mean, there are several strands here that I find very, very interesting. The point that Latinos remain kind of like rooted to their home country identity, I think, is fascinating. And the associated result that general progress seems to stall. I see it very starkly in the educational figures. If you look at the sort of like the improvement in the educational attainment of the second generation compared to the first, to the Latino immigrants, there's a very big jump. But then from the second generation to the third generation, there seems to be much less improvement. And in other bits of data that are in this report, I think the gang-related data, you also find that third-generation Latinos are more likely to belong to gangs or to know somebody from a gang than second-generation Latinos. So there seems to be something counterintuitive, some progress that breaks down between the generations. I really can't say I understand what's happening.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Eduardo Porter of the New York Times and Mark Lopez of the Pew Hispanic Center, and we're talking about a new wide-ranging report by the center about Latino youth. Mark, let's dig into some of the issues that Eduardo just raised. First of all, this whole question of how young Latinos see themselves. Do they see themselves as, and I know this is going to be a sensitive issue for some people, do they see themselves primarily as Latino? Do they see themselves as immigrants from particular countries? Or do they see themselves as Americans?
A very interesting question. And these results are quite interesting. When we take a look at, for example, what do young Latinos call themselves? We actually asked them, do you ever call yourself by the country of origin of your family or your ancestors or even yourself? And virtually all Latinos have used that term at some point in their lives to describe themselves.
I'm Dominicana.
I'm Cubana. Yes. We also asked whether or not they'd ever use the term Hispanic or Latino to describe themselves. And again, virtually all Latinos have said, yes, we have. Where we see some differences is when we talk about American. Only about two-thirds of young Latinos had said that they'd ever used the term American. But once we had this information about the terms they'd used to describe themselves, we then asked, which term do you use to describe yourself first? And over half of young Latinos said that they prefer to describe themselves first by the country of origin of their family or their ancestors. Only a quarter said that they prefer to call themselves first as American. Now, of course, across the generations, there are some differences. Immigrant young Latinos, all of them are going to be using their country of origin as the first term they use to describe themselves. However, when you get to the third generation, you see only a third of young Latinos who are of the third generation saying that they prefer the country of origin of their family or ancestors first to describe themselves.
How do we interpret this? I mean, I'm just trying to think about how, you know, how most people would describe themselves. Yeah. I'm thinking if you're a European American, for example, would it be really unusual for people to say, well, I'm Italian, particularly if you live in some parts of the country where it's kind of fun, or a matter of cachet, or it's a matter of identity, or if you're, you know, Serbian, for example. Is that really so unusual, or I don't know?
When we asked young Latinos in focus groups about their identity, one of the things that we found is we found that they use many different identities depending on the situation. So that, for example, a young Dominicana, one of our focus groups, had said that she actually says she's Dominican because it's a way of her distinguishing herself. And just the way you just described, it's a way of representing her culture, her food, her music, all the things that are familiar to her, because America is so diverse, she says, that in order to stand out, I got to say I'm Dominican. Yet in other situations, she says that, you know, if I meet somebody from another country, I'm going to say I'm American. And so there are actually a multitude of terms that they use, and we just asked about three of them.
Eduardo, what do you think about that?
It would be interesting to compare how the evolution of identity compares to that which happened in the earlier big immigration booms. I mean, today, maybe, you know, somebody who's the child of Italian immigrants will not consider him or herself as Italian-American. But I don't know, maybe at the turn of the 20th century, there was this kind of identity melange going on, as we see amongst today's Latino community. And the other thing I wanted to point out is that Latino is a rather new and a very American construct. Anybody from Latin America is not a Latino until they set foot in this country. I would suggest it takes time for these kind of like markers to take root amongst groups. Perhaps the evolution that you see in the results found by Pew, that they become more American as the generations go by, but they still, you know, hang on to their national roots abroad, is to be expected.
I do want to, finally, in the minute or so that we have left, Mark, I do want to dig a little bit more into the issue that Eduardo brought up earlier, which is the levels of violence, gang participation, and imprisonment that emerged in this study, particularly with people who've been here longer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the report says that among all Latino youth surveyed, 13% say they got into a fight in the past year, 8% report they were physically threatened with a weapon, 6% said that they carried a gun, a knife, or some other weapon. But big differences emerged, broken down by generation. For example, just 7% of Latino youths who are themselves immigrants report that they got into a fight in the past year, compared with 16% of second-generation Latino youth and 18% of third and higher generations of Latino youth. What do you make of that? Eduardo already said he's not sure what this means. What do you think it means?
I'm not sure what this means either. It's unclear because the survey didn't really go into some of the reasons why young Latinos see these or have had these experiences. But it's definitely a pattern that we notice across the board on all the crime, violence, and gang questions that we asked, that the first generation is less likely to have been engaged in these activities than the second and third generation. Also, second and third generation young people have gone to American public schools, and a lot of them said, particularly third generation, that there were gangs in their schools. So we do see a prevalence of gangs in the schools, and perhaps that's part of the reason, but the survey doesn't lend any real analysis to this, because it wasn't meant to actually explain all of this, just to document.
Well, as I said, there is a lot to dig into here, so I thank you for this. Eduardo, final question to you is, what else would you like to know? Now that you've seen these preliminary findings, what are the areas that you think really bear more attention?
Well, I think what I would like to see is more time, because some of the dynamics that you see here seem to me to be in their early stage. So we can't really understand what's going on in the third generation, because this is a relatively new process. In 20 years, we'll have much more a much clearer idea of why it is that, you know, some of these behaviors are evolving as they do. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's like the big Latino cohort starts in the mid-80s. I mean, so the big numbers in the United States are not that old.
Yeah, but there are plenty of third-generation Latinos here. I mean, as many people are wont to point out, you know, Latinos have been in this country before this was a country.
Yeah, no, that's true. Now, nonetheless, I would like to see, how is this big immigrant group going to differ from other immigrant groups that arrived in this country? And mm-hmm. I think that given that the other immigrant groups, assimilation was something that took place over a much longer period of time. I mean, when we think of Italian Americans, we're thinking of people that arrived here, well, much, much longer time ago than Hispanics did. It's very difficult to compare. So when people ask the question, well, is the processes that help assimilation breaking down, I don't know that we really have a good answer, because this is a younger phenomenon than the prior immigration wave.
All right. Well, a lot more to think about. That was Eduardo Porter of the New York Times editorial board. He joined us from New York. Mark Lopez is associate director of the Pew Hispanic Center, which just published the report Between Two Worlds, How Young Latinos Come of Age in America. He was here with me in our Washington, D.C. studios. We'll have links to the report on our website if you want to dig into it for yourselves. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking with us, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.